Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you're joining me on today. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. The scripture states, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Truly, we are going to exalt the name of Jesus on today and give him the glory and honor that's due unto his name. I want you to know I am just so excited about you and what God is doing in and through your life, and that you joined me on today. Today is going to be another glorious time in the Lord. I want you to grab your Bible and come on in and just make yourself right at home. Truly, God is going to speak to your heart on today. And I want you to turn with me, if you have your Bible, to John 13, verses number 3 through 17. Our lesson on today is going to be the ministering attitude, Jesus, our model. So we're going to be looking at the model that Jesus Christ has provided for us when it comes to ministering. We're going to look also that Jesus, our master and model, assumed the role of a servant. We also must prepare to serve a hurting and lost world. John, let's take a look at John while you're turning and getting there. John chapter number 13, verses 3 through 17. And it reads on this line, and let's read together. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God, he arrived from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he had girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter and said unto him, Lord, thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash not thee, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hand and my head. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not to say to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. But ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken the garment and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, so I am. And if then ye, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy if ye do them. Now we're going to look at another passage of scripture in conjunction with this particular one, and it's going to be Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7, and I'm just going to read that in your hearing. It said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of them, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ or God himself. Now let's take a look here. We're going to be talking about various things. We're going to be talking about the master set an example of ministry, the misconception of ministry and lordship, the definition of ministries, servanthood, the example of ministry, which was Jesus Christ. Then the next point that we'll be looking at it would be, let this mind be in you. And we're going to look at various points. Point one would be, Jesus made himself of no reputation. The next point would be, Jesus took on him the form of a servant. C, Jesus became obedient unto death. And D, servanthood is rewarded. And so we're going to take a look at those various points on today. Now, let's look at our introduction. And we want to look here. The misconception about concerning ministry in the church, because of the special nature God calls to ministry, some individuals wrongly believe that ministry is exempt from serving or receiving judgment. This mistakenly believe that service is the job of underlying and that they are somewhat or somehow above doing things. However, such is not the case at all. It is true that ministers are to receive appropriate respect and honor, but they are believers in Christ who are serving a particular function and calling in the church, just as other believers serve in diverse areas of lay ministry in the church. Further, the scripture mentions that ministers are worthy of double honor if they lead well those who are under their oversight, especially so if they serve in the area of the word and doctrine. And so they are required double honor, worthy of double honor, because they're serving in the word and serving in doctrine. And you'll see that over in 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. Moreover, they are to receive an appropriate reward or for their labor. A careful study of Jesus' teaching and practice concerning ministry shed much light on this subject. God blesses the church as believers follow biblical instruction for ministry. Otherwise, an assembly will become only a man-made kingdom that will die when its prominent leader is gone. However, scripturally sound churches continue to survive and thrive because God's word is their foundation. The psalmist observed that the Lord must build the house or the laborer individual is in vain. And we'll find that over in Psalm 127 and 1. Jesus gave us significant principles concerning the ministry, and you'll see Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. He warned that the Gentile has princes that exercise authority over them, but that it was not to be so among believers. According to his teaching, one should become a servant if he or she is to be great in the God's kingdom. Although they were without question the incarnate God, Jesus declared that he came to minister and not to be ministered unto. And you'll see that over in Matthew 20 and verse number 28. Now, let's look at the master set an example of ministry. And let's look at the first point, would be the misconception of ministry and lordship. The Apostle Paul gave a clarion call, a warning to minister to be careful. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and 28. In other words, the Lord has called ministers to guard themselves and the believers under their care and oversight. See also 1 Timothy 4 and 16. The minister is to feed the church with good things from the word of God. Paul used the term grievous wolves, Acts 20 and 29, to describe ministers who do not really care for the people, but take advantage of them for their own gain. Real shepherds care for the sheep so that the sheep can produce more sheep and provide wool for many years. But wolves devour the sheep. The role of the ministry is to care for the people as shepherds care for their sheep. Ministers are under shepherds, and the Lord is the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 2 and 25, 1 Peter 5 and 4. Ministers should treat the people as the Lord himself would treat them, for they are ministering to the people in his stead. A pastor who stands against the onslaught of this world has the heart of a shepherd. He is not a hireling, or she is not, who runs away when they see the sheep in trouble. See John 10, 12 to 13. The scripture provides great comfort to the child of God. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You'll see that Jeremiah 3:15. Furthermore, a real pastor is not selfish, a selfish person who speaks condescendingly to the sheep, but they are to desire to inform the flock and to care for their spiritual health. Moreover, a God-given ministry involves speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, giving a certain sound of warning, see 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 14. Paul warned the ministry at Ephesus that false ministers will arise, speaking perverse things, Acts 20 and 30. The word perverse means to distort, to misinterpret, to corrupt morally and spiritually. False minister tends to make disciples of themselves and not of the Lord. Paul wrote to Titus, they profess that they know God, but in works they denied him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate, Titus 1:16. We should be aware of those who distort the truth. If a person cheats in one area of life, he will undoubtedly cheat in other areas when they are given the opportunity. For that reason, one should live a godly life and live circumspectly, well-rounded in all areas of life. And you can see Ephesians 5 and 15. We are to be wise and understand that this is the will of the Lord in these evil times, Ephesians 5, 16 and 17. Furthermore, we should maintain a balance of spirit and truth. The child of God should not covetly and blindly with a church or a pastor. The Bible provides process to check and balance for church members and pastor. Paul beseeched the Thessalonians, warning them to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. He also admonished them to prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. The Bible compliments the Bereans because they search the scripture daily whether those things be so, Acts 17 and 11. That does not mean that the church member dictates what the pulpit preaches, but they clearly should pray for and encourage their leader to continue strongly in the word. God has given authority to the ministry, and every believer should be kind and respectful to those who perform ministry. A person should never charge an elder with wrongdoing except the charge is supported by two or three witnesses, 1 Timothy 5 and 19. The book of Hebrews strongly guides the church members to obey them that have rule over them and submit yourself, for they watch for your soul, as that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not grief. For it is profitable unto you, Hebrews 13 and 17. The word obey in this verse is translated from the Greek word pithro, which means to be convinced. By analogy, to pacify or conciliate, to reflectively or passively to assent, to rely. The King James Version translates using the following words to translate in the original Greek word, agree, assure, believe, have confidence, be wax confidence, obey, persuade, trust, and yield. Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to esteem very highly in love those in ministry over them and to act at peace among themselves, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13. Accountability to each other provide a balance between spiritual authority and the church member. Each should peaceably submit to the others. The apostle Peter provided a submission guidelines instructing the younger to submit to the elders, for the both to be subject one to another and to be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5:5. Just because someone is old on his age does not automatically give them authority status. On the other hand, a pastor may be young in age. However, when God gives him the responsibility of an assembly by the vote of the people, church members should respect his position, or if God ordained them to be there, God, you must respect that position. Still, the young pastor should never take advantage of their position, but should realize that counsel from the older Christian could be helpful to their success. Moreover, Peter declared that humility, willingly submitting, brings exhortation in due time to everyone. 1 Peter 5:2. And I think that that's a struggle, that for people to really to recognize that when we both submit, when we're submitting to God, who is the head, and submitting to the authority that God has placed there, that God will exalt everybody in due time and in due season. But the key is submitting one to another, submitting to the pastor and coming up under subjection, and then the pastor is submitting to God and to the people in the way in which and matter of feeding the flock and providing the leadership that God has concerned and provided through the gift of that leadership that he placed over you. Erring ministers have falsely used scripture reference, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. A person minister never is exempt from God's judgment of sin. David was anointed of God. However, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. God judged his sin, and David suffered greatly because of it. Moreover, God did not allow him to build the temple because he had shed blood of others. Every person, minister and lay person alike, is accountable for their action. Because of this principle of accountability, the Bible provides definite stipulation and guidance concerning qualification of those who minister. The erring church member has suggested that some ministers are not anointed. Therefore, they can touch them or take definite action to oppose them. Such a dangerous and arrogant philosophy presumes to intrude into domains of God alone. Only God can extend divine anointing. The scripture continued by saying that we should do no harm to God's prophet. Although Saul had lost his anointing from God, still David was careful not to touch him or to take his life. And so it does mean not touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. And that still scripture rings true. But it does not give the minister or that individual right to take liberties that not are ours. We cannot overemphasize the important and necessary of maintaining respect for God, things of God. God will judge those who require judgment. We must patiently bid our time and wait for God to take care of what perceived to be wrongful situation. And in his time, he will settle all matters. The Apostle Peter understood that the minister should not become arrogant or proud, and that they should clearly, and he clearly warned that ministers are not to be lord over God's heritage. 1 Peter 3:5-3. A biblical example of this occurred when Peter visited Cornelius' house for the first time, and Cornelius fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Acts 10:25. Since Cornelius was a Gentile, Peter could have succumbed to his pride in his Jewish heritage as well as his God-given ministry. Instead, Peter declared, "Stand up, for I also am a man." Acts 10:26. Peter's response was an obvious refutation of humans regarding a mere man as the Holy Father, or the vigor of Christ, or the sovereign Puthoth. In fact, not one scripture instance occurred where any of these titles referred to mankind. The term Holy Father only appeared once in the entire Bible, and Jesus employed it when addressing the oneness of God. See John 17 and 11. Peter's own writing refutes that he was the first pope and clearly indicated that he considered himself a just man. He did not want Cornelius to bow at his feet. Furthermore, Peter referred to himself as a fellow elder and provided the following guidelines for the overseers. And let's look at this. This is out of the New NIV, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3. To the elder among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, not eager for to serve, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but be an example to the flock. And so God is calling us to be examples to the flock. Now, the only time the word of God referred to people worshiping a man in the place of God occurred in Peter's discussion of the man of sin or the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4. This man will oppose everything that is called God and will even attempt to show that he is God. Certainly, no one will want to be a part of that kind of rebellion against God and his kingdom. A careful consideration of Peter's warning about not acting as Lord over God's heritage revealed that the Greek word used for being lords over is kereterio, which means to lord against, to control, to subjugate, to overcome. A study of godly submission on the part of both pastors and church members clears the way for God-given authority. The Apostle Paul proclaimed, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. If a leader does not follow the scripture, one should not follow them. This is one of the blessings of belonging to God's, to the church organization. Although organizations are not perfect, they provide guidelines for both the church members and ministers through a form of government. These guidelines provide safety and checks and balance to both sides. Indeed, we should avoid ministers who refuse any governing authority over them. For a person who cannot submit to proper authority should himself never be in authority. And I believe that that is very key. Now, let's look at another definition, the definition of ministry, servanthood. We should never relegate the ministry only to those who stand behind the pulpit to preach and to teach the word of God. The Greek word for ministry implies the act of serving. And the New Testament understanding is that every believer desires for the Lord to use them to serve others. Serving others should be a powerful passion in the heart of a person who has received the Holy Ghost. A great example of such passion is the household of Stephanias, who addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, the word addicted have the meaning of being assigned to the lofty position or life priority. It was a strong precedent within the household of Stephanias, for the disciples of Paul evidently taught his whole family to minister to others. What a great way for one to live and to train their children, serving the church of God, a service that God never forgets. See Hebrews 6, 9 and 11. Certainly, every act of serving has its reward, and I believe that we must refocus in on that, our training, or even our families, to become a service even for one another and the serving of the house of God and things. That is so key. And there is a reward. God will reward you for that. Luke wrote to Tabitha, and Dorcas was noted for good works and alms deeds, which they did. You'll find that over in Acts 9:36. In his letter to the Roman, Paul referred to Phoebe as a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea. Romans 16, verses number 1 and 2. She had been a succorer of many, or help to many, including the Apostle Paul. Serving for the benefit of God's kingdom never goes without a reward from the Lord. A person's human nature is to be self-serving, never focusing on serving others. Serving others is one of the things that fulfill the desires of a child of God, one of the things that accompany salvation. And you can see that over in Hebrews 6 and 9. The New Testament writing sometimes listed serving as one of the criteria for genuine believers in Christ. Jesus even stated that a person would receive a reward when he provides someone with something as simple as a glass of water, Mark 9 and 41. And so that servanthood has a blessing that is attached, or a reward that is attached to it when we serve others. Now let's look at examples of ministry, and let's look at Jesus Christ himself. Our lesson text is such a revelation of our Lord's understanding of ministry. In washing the feet of his followers, he set forth a principle that would long remember and practice. It is not surprising that the Apostle Peter gave admonition about servanthood, servant and leadership in his epistle, for he objected to his master's performance of the menial task of washing his feet. He was determined never to let that happen. However, the Lord told him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter," John 13 and 7. Further in the passage, Jesus stated, "The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him," John 13 and 16. This statement referred to a great truth. Jesus was not greater than the Father because he was God, manifested in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. On the other hand, it is also enormous for one to make Jesus a second person, sometime less than his heavenly Father, or something less than his heavenly Father. Jesus stated it well when he explained, "I and my Father are one," John 10 and 3. "I and my Father are one." Neither is a minister greater than his Lord. Peter obviously well understood this principle of ministry, and you can see that over in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6. Traditionally, history even revealed that the Apostle Peter felt that he should be crucified upside down because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Now, let's look at the next point here. Let this mind be in you. Jesus made himself of no reputation. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul explained the role of the Savior, God among mankind. See Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8. In general, a reputation is what others think of an individual. However, Jesus was more concerned with real character. And according to the International Biblical Dictionary, the word reputation is probably better translated being held in prominence. As one cell in the womb of the Virgin Mary, God through Christ became as small as one's child to get and still be human. Further, Joseph raised him in a carpenter's shop, which showed that our Lord knows the feeling of serving others as a common man. Even in his ministry, Jesus did not take advantage of others with his divine power. He humbled himself to become one of those who he came to serve and save. even when they ignored, in ignorance, crucified him. He then showed his power in resurrection. God highly exalted him. Philippians 9:2-9. And let's look at Philippians chapter number 2, verses number 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Now, let's take another look at another aspect, that Jesus took on him the form of a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7. It is amazing to know that God took on the form of a servant when he appeared in the form, human form. We are blessed as human to know that our Creator loved us so much that he will become like us in order to redeem us. And you'll find that over in Psalms 8 and 5. As a result, we now have the opportunity and privilege of heaven if we receive his redemptive work through the new birth. Pilate challenged Jesus' attitude of serving when Jesus refused to talk with him. Pilate claimed to have the power to crucify and the power to release him. John 19 and 10. Jesus spoke a great principle for all humans concerning power over people. Thou couldst have no power at all against me except it was given thee from above. John 19 and 11. Indeed, all power in government on earth comes from God. Moreover, a person who claims to be under God's authority will govern with the same attitude that the Lord amplified. Jesus' attitude portrayed a loving Lord rather than a crucifying dictator. And we can find that over in John 3:17. Now let's look at another point. Jesus became obedient unto death. The obedience of Christ unto death is ultimate example of submission. As God, Jesus could have destroyed those who were to crucify him, yet he refrained from doing so. The Lord not only submitted to the hands of those who he had created, but he also, in his obedience, he also gave them the ultimate leadership example. He endured this process because he saw the future result for all mankind. The cross exhibits mankind's shameful effort to destroy the one who caused mankind to experience guilt over his sinful nature. However, our Lord suffered through the ultimate effect of mankind's judgment in order to abolish sin and its penalty, which is death. And we can see Romans 6 and 23, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 26. People need not to die for the gospel, for the Lord need a living sacrifice, Romans 12 and 1. John wrote that we should lay down our lives for others as did the Lord, 1 John 3:16. Our sacrifice may not be in death itself, but in giving ourselves to others as servants to the will of God. Jesus died once for all sins of mankind, and he need living people to go into the entire world and tell the good news of Christ's provision for their redemption. And that's what we need to share in things, Christ's redemption for all people. Now, the servanthood is rewarded. God reward our servants given to others, both now and in eternity. Consider the scripture account of all nations gathering before God for the final judgment, Matthew 25, verse 31 and 46. While the Bible revealed numerous things God will judge in mankind. This passage provides insight into a particular aspect of our life that he will judge and reward accordingly. Our service that is given unto others. According to Jesus' account, the shepherd of the sheep were rewarded for their work that they had done for the Lord, even though they did not really understand doing any of this thing for him. When they asked him to explain, Jesus answered, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Matthew 26:40. For many years, sailing around the southernmost part of Africa, known to as Cape of Good Hope, seemed impossible and probably was thought to be more than Cape of No Hope. In 1487, Bartolomeu Diaz from the Portugal successfully sailed around it and named it Cape of Storm. It was later turned into the Cape of Good Hope. Our Lord has sailed ahead of us through the area of no hope and storm. As a result, we now have a hope that is steadfast and sure. Jesus taught the principle of service to others and servanthood when he washed his feet of his disciples. He further taught that those who served others will become great in his kingdom. Certainly, our world is in need of people who will serve, helping hurting people with godly love and ministry. Ministry is not easy work. It requires great sacrifice and effort as we labor in the field of the Lord to make matters more difficult. There are those who claim to be ministers of the Lord but are not performing ministry for the right reason, and they cause problems for those who do work to serve others in the kingdom of God. The Lord suffered for the same challenge while he was here on earth, but he provided the ideal model for service. Serving in ministry and God will reward it eternally. Many stars will appear in the crown of those who serve the Lord and have given themselves to the cause of righteousness. By continuing in God's will of serving others, we will someday pass from this world of confusion to a land of eternal peace that takes others with us and take many others with us. And that will be the place of the greatest reward of all. And so as ministers and as leaders, as we continue to strive to have the attitude and the mindset of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we are serving God's people. And we must look too also on the other hand that the people of God, that they must submit unto godly leadership and to obey them that have rule over them, and so that they may do it with joy and not grievously or being grieved because of rebelling against leadership, fighting against leadership, and not obeying, because leadership in the government and organization that God has given unto the church, it is for check and balance and protection, even of God's flock. And so it's important for the members to come up under subjection unto the leadership and the government that God has given unto the church. And in doing, you will be blessed. And as you are there at church, think in terms of serving the body of Christ. There is a reward. If you give a prophet a cup of water in the name of the prophet, God will bless you with a reward. I've seen people down throughout the years have been greatly blessed because they took care of the man or the woman of God. They gave them the double honor, as where the Bible has esteemed it to be so. And I have literally have seen people greatly rewarded and greatly blessed in this world because they have learned the principle of blessing and taking care of the man or the woman of God who are laboring in the word and doctrine. And so there is a blessing attached to it. Even when you bring them a cup of water, God will bless you. You bring them a dress, God will tremendously bless you. You bring them a suit, God will bless them. Bless you for doing it. If you take care of the man or the woman of God, God will bless you. And the word do esteem to give them double honor as we respecting, as we are taking care of God's flock, not abandoning God's flock. When they're falling into trouble, but walking there with them, praying with them on the wall, crying out to God on their behalf, and things that God will meet their need and walk by their side and undergird them and letting them know that they're not alone. And so as we as children of God begin to walk in the principle of God, having a servant-like mindset and attitude, God will always, always bless his people in a mighty and a special way and make provision for his people. God is so good and is likened to being the spiritual 401k plan that God has for his people. As you take care of his business, God will take care of your business. And so in making sure that there's meat in his house, God will make sure that there will be meat in your house, even unto the ends of this world. I believe, God, if we could just examine the life of the children of Israel, they, even while they were walking in the wilderness, they never outgrew their shoes. Even when they came into Canaan, they never had holes in their shoes. They always had food. They didn't outgrow their clothes. God provided for them and things that made sure that they was taken care of. And as we serve in the kingdom of God and serving and doing the work in the will of the Lord and overseeing that which God has given us to charge of, God will greatly bless you, child of God, as you obey the word of the Lord. Go back and read it. Go back and study it. Grab a hold of the mindset and the attitude of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Husband, serve your wife. Wife, serve your husband. And watch God bless your home. Single parents, you know, serve your children, bless your children, teach your children how to serve, even bring them up in the house of the Lord, teach them how to serve and things, teach them how to, when they see a piece of paper on the floor in the house of the Lord, pick it up and things, teach them how to honor the house of God and serve right there in the house of God, and God will greatly, greatly bless you and things and reward you because you became a servant of the household of God and the ministry of God, and God will tremendously bless and keep you and bless your children and your children's children and the heritage that God has given unto you because you are chosen to serve the man or the woman of God as they are laboring in the word of God. Serve your fellow sister or brother in the house of God. Serve them with a kind word. You may say, I don't have no money. But you can serve them by giving them a kind word, giving them a smile, being there with your presence, and just being there is a gift. Your presence, just being there, is a gift. And things is another form of serving, amen, in the house of God. And God will tremendously bless you. And so I'm going to go ahead and close on today. I know we're finishing up early on today. We talked about some great things in about servanthood and the attitude that Jesus Christ had. He came to serve. And so it is the men and women of God that God has placed as overseers and pastors in your church and things. They come to serve the people of God and serve God. But the Bible admonishes us to give them double honor because they are called into a place of serving the word and laboring in doctrine, meaning they're studying. Matter of fact, I just want to share when they come out and minister, they may have studied maybe close to 8 hours and things, and just to speak just for 45 minutes or 30 minutes, they perhaps have put in 8 hours of study and things. And so we as people, as members, we must recognize the labor, that they labor in the word. And that's key, because you don't see it, but they are spending hours upon hours laboring in the word, in prayer on your behalf. And we must give them great honor and respect, especially if they're living according to the word of God. And things. And the Bible let us know that there are harlots that are out there too. And he's given us the way that we can discern that. That are they living, are they following the scriptures and the word of God and living that out? And things, those are signs. And God will let you know if they are harlots and things. And so God will give you the great understanding as you continue to search him and search his heart and mind and soul. He will give you great understanding. So I pray that you have been encouraged. I pray that you have a greater understanding about there is a reward for your servanthood as you serve in the house of the Lord. And even Jesus, he became obedient unto death. And then also he made of himself of no reputation. He took on the form of the servant, and he was the example of ministry. And we looked at the definition of service and how Luke brought out Tabitha and Dorcas because they were rewarded for their alms deeds giving. And so we must recognize that as we become that example of leaders and minister, God will bless us. Be a giver. Be an alms giver. Bless somebody else. Go out and bless somebody else. Go out and bless that one that comes to church with her children, working hard and trying to provide and make ends meet. Maybe bless them and say, you know, I'm going to take you out to dinner and take you out to lunch and things. Or I'm going to give you a gift card for you and your son, or for you to do something. That's how we can serve one another in the house of God. And then God will tremendously bless us as people of God. God will bless us because we bless somebody else. And I've seen it down throughout the time. Lord, bless me that I may be a blessing to somebody else. And as you become a blessing to somebody else, God is going to greatly bless you. Right there in your neighborhood, right there in your area which you live, you can be a blessing to somebody else and watch God bless you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. We thank you for this session. We thank you for this opportunity to come before your people and talk about servanthood and also to share about their God, your mind and your attitude that you had in regards to service. Father, we ask, oh God, that as we serve one another, that, Lord, you will bless and strengthen your kingdom and your house and the homes, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you will undergird and fortify as never before. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, O Lord. And Father, we praise you, Lord, and we give you glory, and we give you honor to the glory of our Father, which is in heaven. And Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As I said, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask. And you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. So if you don't have it yet, go back and ask again. Go back and knock and seek again, because God wants you to be blessed. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May God bless you is my prayer. And as I always would say, if you thrown in that towel, you go back and you get it, and go back and try it again. Try it this time in Jesus' name, and putting God at the forefront and for his glory and his honor. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.